Hebrews 11, and I'm going to start with verse 1 so we can read this again, so the introduction. Last time we talked about Abel in verse 4. This is Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction, the evidence of conviction of the things not seen. We know that's what we have because we have this faith. And we define this faith as faith in God's word. Faith in the very word of God. That's what we said last time. And it's that word, and then the faith is shown by our obedience to God's word. We have God's word, and we are shown the obedience in God to God through that faith. We believe God, we believe God's promises, and we live it. For by it, that means by that faith, the men of old gained approval. God's approval. God was pleased with them. Okay? He was pleased with them. Because in verse 6, Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You seek God, God is a rewarder of people who seek him. But by faith, the men of old gained approval. They didn't gain approval on their good looks. They didn't gain approval on how many friends they had. They didn't gain approval on how much money they accumulated. They didn't gain approval on their ability to sing, dance, or twirl. None of that. They gained approval on their faith. By faith, they gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which do appear, or in other words, are visible. So by faith, we understand the worlds, the ages were designed. They weren't just didn't happen. They designed properly. And the world is designed in a certain way. Ages, worlds. Okay? So we talked about Abel last time. This time, we're going to talk about Enoch in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up. And that's, now they use the word taken up, so that he would not see death. Now, that's not what the Old Testament says here. When you're quoting the Old Testament, this is not what it says. And he was not found because God took him. Now, that's a phrase right from Genesis 5, okay? In Genesis 5, verse 21 through 24, he was not found because God took him. You see that in verse 24. He was not, for God took him. And that phrase is quoted. He was not found because God took him, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He was pleasing. He had faith. He followed God's direction. He did what God asked him to do. Now, the word that's translated here, Enoch was taken. The Bible talks about, I think the King James used the word, he was translated, so that he would not see death. This word has to do with to convey from one place to the other, okay? To put in another place, to transfer. The Greek word means to transfer, to effect a change in a state or a condition. And it sometimes can mean to have a change of mind in allegiance, to change one's mind, to turn away, or to desert. You can desert something. So you see the same word used in Hebrews 7 and verse 12, the same Greek word. And it says, for when the priesthood is changed, that's that word, of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. So if you've changed the priesthood, you got to change the law about the priesthood. And he's talking about a Melchizedek priesthood and Christ's priesthood, which was after the order of Melchizedek. That changed. Therefore, you have to have a change in the law that allows who's allowed to be priests. The law in the Old Testament said no one could be priests except those who came from the lineage of Aaron. But Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and you see that, we read that in the time past from the Psalms. You know, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see the same word also in the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 16. From there they were removed. That's the word here. Same word is used about Enoch. Enoch was taken up, taken, removed, translated, and he has the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing God. Before he was translated, before he was moved, before he was transferred, so they moved from Shechem and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of money. They were removed, taken from one place to another place, removed, transferred, so to speak. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul was a little bit, they deserted here. The word is moved. You moved away. In this case, we put the word desert, okay? Deserted us. Not two S's, but not a dessert that tastes good. It's you deserted us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly removed or deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel. You're leaving Christ and you're going to some other gospel, which is not God, the gospel of Christ, not the gospel that Christ brought, but a different gospel. So again, here we have these words. Okay, let's read it from the book of Genesis now. We'll read this passage from Genesis. This is what the book of Hebrews here in chapter 11, verse 5 is referring to. Genesis 5, verse 21. This is the talks about Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years. So when he was 65, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, who's Methuselah? Methuselah is the longest living person ever referred to in the Bible, 900 and some years. Okay? The longest living person. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, listen to what it says in verse 2. Then Enoch walked with God. What's that mean, walked with God? He did what God wanted. He followed God's paths. He lived God's way. He was God's friend. He walked in conjunction, in lockstep with God. You know, if you ever teach a dog to heel, it walks with you step after step. It's your friend. It stays with you. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. 300 years more. You know, some of us think, boy, we've been in the church a long time. You know, been here 40 years. I've been to the feast 60 years. I've been to the... You know what? Try being 300 years walking with God, doing God's will, listening to God, doing what you're supposed to do for God, obeying God, taking God's direction, fulfilling, you know, your commitment to God. 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Now, Methuselah we know because he's famous, you know. So verse 23, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's how old he lived. You know, you can live today, it'd be a it's really something if a person lives to be 100 years, but he lived 365 years. But still, I don't care. If you're human, it doesn't matter. If you live 900 years, 300 years, 400 years, 200 years, all the days, that's it. There's a sum of days that each of us has, and when we get there, that's the end. The sum of days. We do die. But Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not. That means there was no Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Well, it means not. Hebrews says he was taken up. He was not found. That's the way the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 interpreted. And he was not, meaning not found, because God took him. So here's the Genesis statement. Genesis 5 verse 24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The Hebrew construction here has a negative participle in front of that phrase, there, meaning there is not or there was not. In other words, he was not. Instead of saying Enoch died, it says, the text says, he was no longer present. He was not. He was just not here. Now, this gives rise to all kinds of speculation that Enoch went off and God took him up to heaven, and that he, because he pleased God, got his reward in heaven. Well, what about Abel? He pleased God. Why wasn't he taken? Well, what about Abraham? You have all these people in here. Noah, how come he wasn't taken up to heaven? Why was Enoch supposed to be taken up to heaven? Why was he transferred? Why was he taken from one spot to another? Why not these other? Was Enoch better than any of the rest of them? Well, no. So all kinds of Protestant ministers and sometimes Catholic priests hold that Enoch was taken up to heaven. He went to heaven and now he's enjoying all the beatific visions and, you know, resting in heaven, and he never died. Okay. So here's what we read. Okay. Let's read it. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that, now here's how they said, so that he would not see death. Okay, now all of a sudden, that we take this phrase, he would not see death, and they translate that he never died, he went to heaven, he never died. Well, look at this passage in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 51. Jesus said to his disciples and to, really would be go apply to us, I guess, John chapter 8, dropping down to verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, we now know you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Who do you make yourself out to be? Okay, who do you think you are that if they keep your word? Now, the Jews were pretty certain. All the prophets died. Abraham, the greatest of the greats, they died. Abraham was one of the greatest of the greats, no doubt about it. But he died. The Bible says he died, and he was buried, and he bought that plot of land close to Hebron, where he was buried. Isaac and Jacob were all buried there, in this plot. So they all died, everybody. So why was Enoch that he should not see death? He was taken that he should not see death. Well, here's a psalm. Look at Psalm 89, verse 48. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol, the power of the grave, the underworld, Selah? Psalm 89, verse 48, what man can live and not see death? Now, he was transferred so that he wouldn't see this death, but why? Did he go to heaven? Well, some years later, Jesus was talking to people in the book of John here in chapter 3, and he said to them, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And he says in verse 13, and no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, meaning the Son of Man, comma, the Son of Man. So the Son of Man is the only one who ascended to heaven, and now I'm telling you these things that nobody is up there. No, so Enoch was taken. He was taken up. He was taken away. He was transferred. He was conveyed. He was moved to some place. He moved from one spot to another for some reason. And what do we have as the reason? Well, before we go on to that, let's take a look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And we go all the way down. Now you go through Noah and you go through Abraham. And it's pretty much taking these in the order that they appear in the scriptures, you know, from the Old Testament. But they come all the way to verse 13. And this is talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, okay? All these people. And go all the way down to verse 13. For all these, verse 13, all these died in faith. Now he says, all these died. Well, that means Enoch died. And the Bible says, all the days of Enoch. What does that mean? He died. That's a phrase that means you died. That's all you have. You have 365 years, you died. So Enoch died. But the question is, why was he taken? Why was he transferred? So here, let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 in the Complete Jewish Bible. All these people kept on trusting God until they died, is the way they translate it. Without receiving what had been promised. They had only seen it and welcomed it from a distance while acknowledging that they were aliens and temporary residents on the earth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 of the New American Standard Version. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Okay, all the days of Enoch, he was 365 years old. Okay, and he was not. That is, he wasn't found. Now, why was that? Why was that? Well, if you go to the book of Genesis, let's take a look. When we compare the scriptures, here's what we find. If you take a look at the fifth chapter of Genesis, we learn that Enoch's translation occurred just 47 years after Adam died. I mean, that's how long Adam lived, 900 some years. So Enoch's translation occurred about what we call this transfer or translation, this moving, about 47 years after Adam died. And 55 years before Adam's son Seth died, 300 years after Enoch's first son Methuselah, the man who lived longest on the earth, he lived 969 years, and before he died, okay, before he was born, and 69 years before Noah was born. Okay, if you look into these dates, and what do we see happening in the book of Genesis? We learn that his removal then occurred some 669 years before the flood. Okay, So we put all these things together. The number of years before the flood illustrates that God gave the wicked world hundreds of years to repent. He brought the devastating judgment of the great flood upon the earth because during Enoch's time, the world of Enoch's time was described in the book of Jude as ungodly. And therefore, that world was denounced. It was denounced by a number of people. Let's read it in the book of Jude, refers to Enoch. Okay, here it is. So we have the book of Hebrews, and we also have the book of Jude. Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter, and we're dropping down to verse 14. Jude 1, verse 14. It was also about these men. And Jude talks about these men. These are evil men. These are wicked men. And he talks about them here. These men, I'm going to read in verse 12. These men are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you, caring for themselves. They are without water, carried along with about the wind. Okay, they're autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea. And then he says in verse 14, he talks all about they have their own shame. They're wandering stars in the blackness and the darkness have been reserved forever. You know, the blackness of the darkness of punishment has been reserved forever for these men. And then he says in verse 14, it was about these men that Enoch, in this, he's the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied. Now, understand this word prophesied. In the New Testament, the word prophesied does not always mean a forecast and a prediction. Prophesied in the New Testament means speaking with inspired speech, inspired speaking. We hope that when we give sermons, that those things are that they are part of that prophesying, that is speaking with inspired speaking from God's word. Okay, and he can only speak God's word. A minister can only speak. He can't, words of his own, they're nice. I mean, I could give words and tell a story and tell about my life and all that, but that's nice. That's nice. Some people like that. But that's not what's inspiring. Inspiring is God's word. Teaching from God's word, speaking the words of God, which is commanded. So it says here, it was about these men that Enoch, in the seventh of Adam, from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came, he came with 10,000s of his holy ones, that is the angels, the holy ones, the angels, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all of the ungodly, all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, God. So Enoch was a preacher. You know, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So Enoch was a preacher in a time leading up to the flood. You know what the Bible says about that time leading up to the flood? That God looked down and every thought of man was only evil continually. It was brutal. It was evil. It was wretched. And here Enoch, who died, in 365 years, but he died before Noah came on. But the world was no good. He was prophesying, and maybe these people, and he was condemning them for their evil and saying, you got to stop this because God is coming to execute judgment. You've got to stop this. He was speaking forth with inspired speaking. He was a preacher. I would say that we would have to say about Enoch, that he also was a preacher of righteousness. He also taught righteousness. And what a wonderful thing that was. And God then, I believe, took him from this world, that world of the pre-diluvian world of the flood, and took him away. He wasn't found. People were after him. He was not found. And maybe he was able to die in peace at some place where he was not hurt. You know, but we do know he didn't go to heaven, because Jesus said, no one has ascended to heaven but me. You know, I came down from heaven. We also know that all of these died, according to Hebrews. Why? He would say, well, all these died except Enoch. He didn't say that. All these died except Enoch. No, he didn't say that. So over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and you drop down to verse 39, all these, verse 39, all of these, he's talking about all these people, gained approval through faith, through their faith. Remember, it's the same thing. We started with chapter 11. What did they do? They gained approval. Verse 2, for by it men of old gained approval. All of these gained approval. And now he's summing up the entire thing. I can't talk about all these. There are so many people. Time fails me. You remember what he said? Time fails me. I can't talk about all these people that did all these things. Time fails me to talk about everybody, you know, the Rahab. And what more shall I say? And this is verse 32, Hebrews 11, verse 32. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, so many of the prophets, who by faith did all these things. And all of these, starting with chapter 11, starting with Abel, all the way through Enoch, all the way to Moses and Abraham, and on, all of these people who gained approval by faith. Listen to verse 39. And all of these, having gained this approval through faith, did not receive what was promised. Didn't receive it in this life. Because God, having provided something better for us, so that apart from us, now imagine Paul saying this about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob, about Enoch, about Noah, about these great men. Paul is saying, apart from us, you know what? Apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So if Enoch was taken up into heaven, he should have said, you know, now all of these except for Enoch gained approval, and all of these did not receive the promise except for Enoch, because he was taken up into heaven. No, I believe he was taken because he preached, he prophesied, and he preached about to the ungodly, to these people who were ungodly at a time when Noah was coming on shortly thereafter, and to execute judgment upon all, to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in ungodly ways. I mean, he's laying it out. And of all the harsh things, you know, they found evidences, I mean, some of the books have talked about it, evidences in archaeological diggings and so on, skeletons, holes drilled through their heads, and things like that. Of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have done and have spoken, they spoke harsh things about God. They not only did harsh things, they not only did evil, they not only were ungodly in their deeds, ungodly in their convictions, ungodly in the way they lived, they were ungodly and harsh in the way they spoke about God. They didn't want God. They hated God. Imagine saying harsh things about the Lord God himself. So Enoch gained approval through faith. He was told, you got to preach. You got to do these things. He walked with God 300 years. Now, look, you and I want, we would like to testify, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you like to say things to people? Wouldn't you like to have people know that you are a believer in God? And if you had a chance to get up and speak to people about God, wouldn't you want to do that? Here's a man who walked with God 300 years. He preached. He prophesied, which meant he preached about God and about the evil of his times. He let, you know, Isaiah was told, blow, you know, lift your voice up like a trumpet, warn the people, say what's going to happen, tell the people. Now, you can't just say what's going to happen unless you get the word of God. Isaiah had the word of God coming to him and saying, here's what's going to happen to you people. I have a prophecy. God told me this to tell you this. I'm not going to back down. Jeremiah, the same way. I'm going to have to tell you this. Even though you throw me in a dungeon, I'm going to have to tell you that the king of Babylon is coming. He's going to destroy the Judah. He's going to take over our people. He's going to do this. So I don't care. You know, you throw me in a dungeon, kill me if you want, but I still have to tell you the truth of what's going to happen. And Jeremiah did. And I think Enoch did. And I think they were after him. And I think he was removed. He was not found. He was just not there. They were going to try to get him. But God moved him somewhere, translated him, conveyed him, took him, removed him. So that he says he would not see death. Now, when Jesus said this to his disciples, that he that believes in my words, he will not see death. Did they see death? Did Peter see death? Yeah. Jesus said he was going to see death. Did Paul see death? Paul said, I'm ready to see death. Was Peter greater than Paul? Were any of these other disciples greater than Paul? Paul said, I'm going to see death. I'm ready to be offered. I know that a crown is laid up for me and that he will give it to me and to all those who also believe. I know these things. So, yes, Enoch was a powerful preacher of righteousness like Noah in a time of evil so bad that our hearts, our minds could not conceive it. He was moved. And during those years when he walked with God, he pleased God because he believed God's word, lived by it, spoke by it, and was able to deliver it to these people who were ungodly. It's these kinds of people, Jude is saying. You know, there are bad people in every age. And, I mean, you have some monsters today. I mean monsters of people. If you only knew, and I have a person that I friend that I know is keeping tabs on terrible level 14 kids who are abused. And he told me he found a couple of articles. They are so gruesome. I mean, I hate to talk about them. I don't want your mind to get on it too much. But one of them is a 16-year-old girl starved to death by her parents. I guess they just chained her and she couldn't. And they starved her to death. When the authorities found her dead, she was 56 pounds at 16. Now, you cannot hardly conceive this. You cannot conceive of parents. These are parents. Where is the, you know, when a mother gives birth to a baby, what's the first thing you want to do? A decent person. These must be demonic, demented, deranged people, so evil, so like psychopaths. They have no feeling. They could not care any more for their child than they could for a Kleenex that they blew their nose on and threw away. They have no feeling, no empathy, no concern. It doesn't even bother them that somebody's hurting. They have no empathy. These people, and in every age there are. Now, you can imagine this man who gets up there shooting down in the Las Vegas thing. He's shooting bullets, big bullets, into a crowd, knowing what these bullets will do when they hit people. He didn't care. Had no concern if somebody's daughter was there, if their son was there. No concern what this would do to the individual, and no concern what it would do to the family. There are people like that in every age. They were back in Noah's time. They were, unfortunately for the world, they were so many more in Noah's time. And they got wiped out. A lot of them got wiped out. And we started again with Noah's family. Now here we all are. Guess where we came from? Noah. Noah. We come from Adam? Yeah, but through Noah's line. So all of us who are now living, according to the Bible, came from Noah and his three sons. But right off the bat, one of his sons did an evil deed. And right off the bat, you started having, again, people who were going astray from the Word of God. People always do. They go astray. They leave. They desert the Word of God. They transferred. They took themselves. Enoch was taken, but other people take themselves. They take themselves away from God. They take themselves away from God's Word. They take themselves away from God's truth. And they leave. So, yeah, there are bad people in every age. Noah, Enoch walked 300 years serving God. He walked with God, and he preached as these things were getting worse and worse and worse as the time of Noah was coming up, 69 years before Noah was born, and he was preaching, 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 and then Noah comes on the scene, and Noah is taxed with major things. And the very next person, you see, in the very verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 8, without faith, of course, here's it say, let's read verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken. He was taken up so that he would not see death. And he did not, he was not found because God took him. It took him up or took him. And they say take him up or take him. He was taken. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken, or taken up, he was pleasing to God. He was pleasing. Yes, he pleased God. Was Abel pleasing? Yes. He was a testimony that he was righteous. Okay? And he still speaks. Abel still speaks. And Enoch's words were speaking back then. And again, all these people had an example for us. So in verse 6, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Enoch believed that for 300 years. And then after Enoch, and the world continued to reject God's word, God gave the sinners plenty of time to repent, gave them plenty of witness to repent, gave them plenty of preaching from which to repent, and then on the scene comes a man by the name of Noah. And by faith, Noah, being warned about things not yet seen. Now, you have to, if you know God is saying it, like Noah. And our next time we're going to talk about Noah. But here comes Noah on the scene. He was warned about things that he couldn't know about. Now think about this. You're going to say to Noah, you know what? There's going to be a flood. There's going to be a flood so bad, everybody is going to die. And I want you to build this ship. I want you to build this, we call it an ark, this ship that is so huge, that is so big, that is so powerful, that it's going to be able to endure because it's going to rain and the waters of the deep are going to come and drown everybody. Now, you say to yourself, am I hearing God right? Is this really God? Do you know that nothing like this ever happened before? You know, not in humans' time. It never happened before. And what does God say after it happened? I never want it to happen again. God said, I'm never going to do this again and put a rainbow up as a sign. Never going to happen again. It never happened before. Now, you're Noah, and you say, you know what? I've lived a long time, even up to now. I never heard of anybody in any flood. I mean, you know, you get little floods. Look, we had floods down in Houston. We had floods down in Florida. We had floods down in Puerto Rico recently from hurricanes. Other places of the world experience floods and tsunamis that come in, you know, from the ocean. An earthquake happens in the ocean, we get flooded. We know that. But we say, that's only there. It's not everywhere. It doesn't drown everybody. And even with all that flood, you know, we didn't lose all that many people. So think of what Noah had to hear. By faith, Noah was warned. And the implication is by God, of course. It's in italics in my New American Standard. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen, nor experienced, or ever heard of. And he had to take action on the basis of that faith. That's called true faith. That's how you gain approval. You don't gain approval from anything else. And in our lives, each of us will gain approval by our belief and therefore action based on this, the Word of God.